All right, the book of Psalm, chapter number 14 tonight. The book of Psalm in chapter number 14, and I'll be reading the whole chapter. And as I'm setting up here, I'm thinking about the pastor that used to be at Emmanuel Baptist Church, and his name is slipping my mind right now. He's dead in heaven.
Here,
Junior Dawson. Junior Dawson, thank you. I'm thinking about Pastor Junior Dawson. Every time that he would get up to preach, he would always bring a little recorder with him, and he'd always record his messages. And so tonight, I've got my phone out. I'm recording tonight's message because I have a podcast, and I'm going to put that on my podcast because I'm going to be down for at least 6 to 8 weeks, and so I'm trying to make up for lost time, amen? And the podcast has been heard around the world in about 22 different countries. Also, my life story from the Unshackled is also on that podcast as well. And I do pray that you would continue to pray for that. And I do thank the Lord that he's just using my story for the glory of God. And that's what it's all about. Amen. Psalm chapter 14, verse number 1. I've not preached this message before, so it's hot off the press. I just put it together probably 2 days ago. The Bible says in Psalm chapter 14, verse number 1, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men." And let me stop right there and say this tonight. The Lord is still looking down from heaven upon the children of men tonight. He's not turned his back one single time on any one of us. Amen. And I thank God he sees. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, looking at the evil and the good. And we find here that the Bible said the Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. They were all gone aside. They were all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Have all the workers of iniquity no knowledge, who eat up my people as they eat bread and call not upon the Lord? There were they in great fear, for God is in the generation of the righteous. Ye have shamed the counsel of the poor, because the Lord is his refuge. Oh, that the salvation of Israel will come out of Zion. And when the Lord bringeth back the captivity of his people, Jacob shall rejoice and Israel shall be glad. May God add his blessings to the reading of the Word of God here tonight. I preached on Jacob this morning on going back to Bethel. You know, Jacob backslid on God. Jacob got out of the will of God. But thank God, aren't you glad to know tonight, friend, that God is a God of second chances. God is a God who will allow you to do his will if you are willing to do his will. Amen. And our will should be his will. Amen. Our will, our heart's desire tonight ought to be that of the will of God and that not of our own. Because, friend of mine, when we try to please ourselves, when we try to get our own will done, we fall flat on our face. But thank God, as a child of God, when we're walking in the will of the Lord, what a blessing that is. Amen. Somebody asked me here a while back, were you scared when you went to the Ukraine because of the war that was going on? I said, absolutely not. I went to the Ukraine back in May of 2023. You said, Brother Walter, how come you wasn't scared? I'll tell you why. Because I was in the will of God. Amen. I was safer in the will of God there that I would have been out of the will of God here. And so we find here at the timing of this psalm and the circumstances of this particular psalm are kind of unclear. Some believe that David was writing about past history with Israel. They think he may have written about the time of Noah's day, possibly during a rebellion and an iniquity of Sodom and Gomorrah. Or even he might have wrote about the wickedness of Pharaoh and Egypt during the time of Moses and the Exodus period. Others believe that David wrote about personal experiences, possibly in regard to Saul when he was fleeing Saul, or possibly in regards to Nabal. The truth is, we really don't know all this for certain, but regardless of the time, regardless of the period or the individual characters, David may have had in his mind, as he wrote in the psalm, it reveals a narrative that every generation that I preach to, young, old, or middle class, middle age, every generation can relate to and understand. It deals with the depravity of humanity and the trials of the righteous. And Paul quoted this very psalm in Romans chapter number 3 when he said, there is none that doeth good, no, not one. Hey, friend of mine, when you look at me, you see nothing good. There's nothing good about me, but thank God there's something good within me. Amen. Greater is he that is in you and than he that is in the world. Thank God, God is good. God is good. I said tonight, friend, God is good. And Paul, he wrote about this psalm in Romans 3 as he discussed the holiness of God and the guilt of humanity. And as we consider these words tonight, let's you and I be encouraged by the hope that's offered at the end of the psalm. And tonight, my friend, we face difficulties. We face trials. We face tribulation. We face hard times. And yet, during those trials, during those hard times of life, when life doesn't make sense, when life doesn't make any kind of sense at all, when it seems like, my friend, we don't know which way is up, when it seems like everything is against us, can I say tonight, based on the authority of the Word of God, there is hope for the child of God. There's hope for the child of God. So let us be encouraged because, friend of mine, I'm telling you, we are living in some dark and trying times. We are living in some dark days and trying times. But can I say this? God has a definitive and determined plan for each and every one of us tonight. God has a plan for you. God has a plan for me. God has a plan for all of us tonight, even in these dark and dreary days. Amen. He does. And so let's discuss the characteristics of David's time. And I want to preach on the subject tonight. It's always darkest before the dawn. Hallelujah. I said, friend of mine, it's always darkest before the dawn. Hallelujah, friend. You know what that simply means? That simply means one of these days, that sun's going to shine again. Hallelujah. The sun is going to rise up with healing in his wings. That sun, my friend, is going to shine on your life and shine on your life like it never has before. Hot dog and Yahoo too. Aren't you glad tonight? You're a child of the King. Hot dog is Greek for hallelujah. Yahoo is Hebrew for praise the Lord. Amen. You say, Brother Walter, you sure ain't preaching like you got hernias. I'm not going to preach like I got hernias either. Amen. It's always darkest before the dawn. Number one, look back with me in verse number one. You're going to find verse number one down to verse number three, a day of corruption. A day of corruption. You see, these very verses deal with the corruption within humanity that David was pondering or thinking about. His thoughts reveal this, number one, their attitude. Back in verse number one, the Bible said, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. How in the world can we walk through this world and think that there is no God? I mean, even a child can tell you there is a God. Even as the birds sing, there is a God. Even as the rain falls, there is a God. Even as the sun shines, there is a God. Even as the clouds roll, there is a God. Even as the moon sits still, there is a God. Even as the wind blows, thank God, there is a God. Hallelujah, friend. What I'm trying to say, there is a God. Amen. There is a God. Whether considering those of the past or people within his day, David contemplated those who denied the very existence of God. He had thought of the days of Noah and the great flood, the wrathful destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. He had thought about the events surrounding the Exodus. Either event would have revealed the awesome power of Almighty God within the lives of humanity and within nature itself. I mean, you look around us tonight and you could see, you could tell that there is a God. I mean, friend of mine, when the earth shakes, there's a God. When the earth quakes, there's a God. When the waters come from the ocean and go up on the land, there is a God. Yep. I'm telling you, friend, David, as we look at this darkest before the dawn, we see a day of corruption. David's telling us about the attitude of the people. He said, they're fools thinking there is no God. David's generation had experienced a mighty hand and provision of God enough to prove his very existence. And yet, there were many who denied the existence of God. And today, in 2024, our world is filled with those who embrace the very same attitude as they did back in the days of David. They refuse to acknowledge that God does in fact exist. They view him as nothing more than a myth. They view him as nothing more than a legend passed down through the generations by weak and ignorant people. I remember several years ago, there was a wrestler by the name of Jesse Ventura who said, religion is for the weak-minded. He said, people that believe in God is for the weak-minded. I promise you one thing, one of these days, he's going to believe in God. Because he's going to stand before him face to face like we all are going to. Huh? And they view him as nothing more than a myth or a legend passed down. And David, he describes these people as fools. This is a person who has descended the depths of depravity. One who is morally reprehensible and completely unconcerned about others. And being totally void of conscience, the wicked and individual preys on other people when they believe there is no God. We see their attitude. Then all of a sudden, David reveals their activity. David said they are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. You see, those who deny the very existence of God do wicked things. Amen. They have abominable works. David realized those who deny God were corrupt, engaging in those abominable works, accomplishing nothing good or spiritually beneficial for themselves or those around them. Now, the word corrupt speaks of the atmosphere present in Noah's day. The thoughts of men, what were they? They were on evil continually during the days of Noah. They were on evil continually, seeking any means necessary to fulfill the lustful desires. And sadly, you and I, we are experiencing an increase in such activity today as well. Many folk will stop at nothing to satisfy their lustful desires. I mean, there's no limits or restraints within society. We have created a culture, my friend, that refuses to stand against anything for fear of offending or preventing someone from their desires, no matter how vile, no matter how corrupt they may be. And friend of mine, let me say, we've gotten to the place where we want our desires above God's desires. We've gotten to the place where it's my forward no more, and it ought not to be among the people of God. Amen. Hot dog and Yahoo goes right there, because God ought to have first place in every born again child of God's life. And let me say this tonight. It's always right to stand for what is right. It's never wrong to stand for what is right. It's always right to stand for what is right. And my friend, it may not be light, because we're living in some very, very dark days. But thank God tonight, hallelujah to the Lamb, it's always darkest just before the dawn. It's always darkest just before the dawn. We see a day of corruption. We see their attitude. We see their activity. Verse number 2, we see their apathy. The Bible says that the Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. The context of this statement actually reveals few desired the ways of God or sought him in any way. And as the Lord actually, Brother Jerry, looked upon humanity, he saw an apathetic people who cared very little, if at all, for him. Would you not agree tonight that our society has declined to such a state right here in America? The majority today are unconcerned about the state of our world, with no desire to seek the Lord or please him with their lives. It's sad that the world is doing it. Look up here. But what's even sadder is that the people of God are doing it. They want to put everything else before God. They want to make excuses as to why not to read a Bible. No, why not to pray? Why not to witness? Why not to come to church? Why not to do anything to serve Almighty God? And that's a sad state to be in. Apathy. Don't care for the things of God anymore. I preached this morning on Jacob and how he backslid. You know, people who backslide get to where they don't care about the things of God. Nothing excites them about God anymore. They don't care about the Word of God. They don't care about the message of God. They don't care about the men of God. They don't care about the house of God. They care about nothing about God. They don't care about praying to God, living for God, serving God. Using their talents for God, and the list goes on and on. You mentioned you thank God for those who use their talents, and I thank God for them too. I wish I had talent. I wish I could sing. But if I did, y'all'd leave. You said, yeah. You don't have to agree, brother. Amen. I didn't ask you to agree to that. Amen. I was thinking that for my wife, not you. Amen. I wish I had a thimble full of talent in my little pinky like Hunter Terrell back there has, like my son has. I mean, I'm going to brag on him. And Hunter, do you let this go to your head? I'm going to pray ugly on you. Because he's not. He's a good-looking young man, and I'm not saying it because he's mine, amen. He's a good-looking young man to watch this. He plays the guitar, he sings, and most of all, he preaches. He was over in Danville, Virginia, preaching this morning. Yeah. Picking and a grinning and a preaching, amen? Yeah. Is what he was doing. I wish I had a thimble full of that talent. I try to preach and I do worse at best, amen? But I'm telling you, a friend of mine, there are people today who don't want to use their talents for God, and shame, shame, shame on them. You could be a blessing to the people of God if you've got a talent to use for the glory of God.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen?
Yeah. And when you be a blessing to the people of God, you are pleasing the Lord.
Yeah.
You are blessing the Lord. Amen?
Yeah.
You know, we often say, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. That's how you bless God. Use your talents and serve Him. Amen? That's how you do it. Well, I don't know how I got off on that, but it's good for your, it's good for, make your hair grow. Amen? I had to put something different in there. And mine grows, but I don't let it. We see here their apostasy in verse number 3. The Bible says they're all gone aside. They're all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. As David pondered the lives of men, he realized society as a whole had completely abandoned the Lord,
Amen.
Seeking only to satisfy their sinful desires. They had become apostate before the Lord, refusing any measure of righteousness. We're not there yet, but friend of mine, we're getting perilously close.
Yeah.
We're not there yet. Thank God there's still a few in America that love the Lord.
Right.
There's still a remnant of God's people that still love Almighty God. I believe that's why God's been so merciful to America, because the remnant of His people, still the remnant of His people that are left. But friend, we have not become apostate. We're not there yet, but we're perilously getting close. I'm thankful tonight for the remnant of the believers within our society. But America is headed toward a wholesale apostate culture. You don't believe me? Just turn your news on for 5 minutes.
Yep.
5 minutes is all it takes, and you'll see where we're at. Thank God there's still some men of God like your pastor. There's still some men of God like my pastor who rears back and loosens their belt and tightens their tie for the glory of God. Or tightens their belt and loosens their tie for the glory of God. Amen. And rears back and preaches and thunders the word of God. Preaches hell hot, heaven sweet, sin black, and Jesus coming back. Amen.
Amen.
You and I tonight cannot abandon the ways in the Word of God and expect a different outcome. But I tell you, friend of mine, look up here tonight. Even though it's still dark outside, even though America's on a downward spiral, thank God for the few that are still believers. Thank God for the few who are still born again. Because you know why? It's always darkest just before the dawn.
Amen.
Second thing we see tonight is a day of confusion. A day of confusion. We saw a day of corruption first. Secondly, tonight, as it's always darkest before the dawn, I want you to hang on and go with me, because I'm going somewhere and I want you to go along with me. We're going to get somewhere with this. But right here is a day of confusion. Verse 4 through 6, David speaks of their confusion and the detrimental effects associated with it. Look at their incompetence in verse number 4. Have all their workers of iniquity no knowledge? Was a question that David asked. This refers to their lack of knowledge and understanding. They were so focused on themselves. They were so focused on their desires, fully determined to obtain what they wanted at any cost. Didn't matter if it hurt their family, their friends, their loved ones. Didn't matter what it took. They were going to obtain their desires at any cost, that they failed to see the effects of their sinful ways. They did not see the bigger picture. They were so focused on me, myself, and I, they didn't realize how much sin they were doing. Their incompetence. They had no moral compass about them and felt as if they were accountable to no one. A lot of times we'll pick on teenagers being rebellious and say, I don't have to do this and I don't have to do that. I don't have to give an account to mom and dad. I don't have to honor mom and dad. Hey, adult, look up here. How about you and I giving an account to God?
Amen.
Huh? Well, it's getting quiet. We are accountable to God. David also said these denied God and refused to even consider his existence or his judgment. I'm getting to the point where nothing really surprises me anymore. I mean, I do wonder sometimes what many people are thinking, and often if they are thinking at all, to be honest with you. I mean, friend, people walk around as if they're not thinking at all. You don't believe that? Get out on the highway. Hello. I mean, here in the last week, my nerves been shot with some of these drivers. I drive good. They drive bad. I'm just picking. Sometimes I drive bad too. I did a U-turn yesterday and Tammy was looking down. Brother, I did it so fast she about passed out on me. You know why? Because she got dizzy. Yeah. She got dizzy because I did it too quickly. Well, does the majority of the people really believe that there is no accountability? Look up here tonight. We're always going to be accountable to somebody.
Amen.
Do you have a job, a workplace? Then guess what? You are accountable to your boss.
Yeah.
As a sheep of Grace Baptist Church, you are accountable to two people. The Lord, first and foremost, but also you are accountable as how you follow your pastor.
Yeah.
Your pastor is accountable to God. I am accountable, standing behind this pulpit right now, I'm accountable to two people. Your pastor is number one. Well, God's number one, but your pastor falls right in there with that. You know why? This is his pulpit. And if I say something that I shouldn't, and guess what? I got to give an account to him and to God. Hello?
Amen.
We are always going to be accountable to somebody. Children, well, there's one child in here. I got my son. He lives at home with me. He's 20 years old. My daughter's 21 years old. And by the way, pray for my daughter. She's getting married in September. And she got engaged Christmas Eve. But you know what? As long as she's still living at my home, she's still accountable to me and mama back there.
Yeah.
Amen? Just as is Hunter. And so we're always going to be accountable to somebody. But there are people in this world today who really believe that they have to give account to no one. And do they think they can live as they please with no regard for God or his command and never face their actions? As troubling as this may be, it is also very tragic. As troubling as this may sound, it is also very, very tragic. Because we are living among a generation. Are you hearing this? We are living today among a generation with no regard for themselves or others or a holy, righteous God. I mean, friend, when we go to these schools and we see kitty litter boxes in the boys' bathroom, something wrong somewhere. I ain't no cat. I ain't no monkey. I may look like one, but I am not one. Amen. Thank you for not saying amen right there, brother. Friend of mine, I'm telling you, we're living in a generation now where they think that they think for nobody but themselves, and they had no regard for themselves either, no regard for human life, no regard for a righteous God. But look up here tonight, it's always darkest just before the dawn. Yeah. There's still hope in the world that we're living in. Amen. Yeah. Day of confusion, we see their incompetence, we also see their intolerance. David also said, have all the workers of iniquity no knowledge, who eat up my people as they eat bread and call not upon the Lord? Those whom David speaks of sought to consume and destroy any measure of resistance. They viewed those who followed the Lord as a threat to their indulgence. They would stop at next to nothing to promote their agenda and fulfill their lustful desires. You will have to agree tonight that we are experiencing such a behavior, but on a much larger scale. There's a movement within America today to silence Christians. There's a movement within America right now to silence the Christian voice and remove any hindrance to the sinful indulgence that we are seeing. And those who champion tolerance for their lifestyles have become totally intolerant of anybody who will oppose their lifestyle. I fear the Bible-believing, God-honoring Christian will soon be pushed to the fringes of society, marginalized and isolated because of our stand. The liberal agenda being promoted today will seek to remove any Christian influence from society. If you and I don't choose to stand right now, if you and I don't take a stand and do the will of God instead of doing our own lustful will, our own lustful desires, and putting everything else before God, I fear that things are going to happen we ain't going to like. Yeah. Then we're going to be like the children of Israel, sit back and cry for what we brought on ourselves. Yeah. But can I say tonight, there's always a darkness just before the dawn. Amen. As we consider the landscape of America, as I've already said it time and again, a lot of folk don't have a desire for the Lord. They refuse to embrace the finished work of Christ as a means of salvation. And I know we can say all day long, God bless America. Yeah. And I'm glad that even though we don't agree with them, I'm glad our president even says, God bless America. Don't, Walt. But when you begin to talk about Jesus, yeah, that's when things take a turn. They can tolerate God, but whoa, my friend, you begin talking about Jesus. Oh, my soul, that name is very scary to them. Yeah. Yeah. Well, we see here their isolation. In verse number 5, there were they in great fear, for God is in a generation of the righteous. They knew these were embraced and celebrated by the majority, but they were isolated from the Lord. They'd never submitted to Him and had no relationship with the Lord. God would not honor sinfulness and utter wickedness. Amen? He will not. David knew that they may have enjoyed sin for a season and indulgence in this life, but they would all someday stand before God in judgment. Yep. Stand before the holy, righteous God in judgment. And that's the way it is in America today. Everybody someday is going to stand before God. Yep. Let me go as far as saying this. One day, everybody's going to get to go to heaven. Everybody. But here's the thing. Not everybody's going to get to stay there. Because you see, the great white throne judgment of God is in heaven. And those who stand before the great white throne judgment of God, they are going to be in heaven for just a little while. And I believe that's going to be part of the torment, preacher, honestly. They're going to look around and see everything that they're going to miss. Because they had not been saved, not been born again. Many refuse to acknowledge the Lord at all, and their focus and their passion are pleasing to the flesh. And sadly to say tonight, as many of Christians who believe, as many of folks who are saved by the grace of God, you know what? They've got so backslid on God, they don't acknowledge Him anymore. Got some backslid on the Lord. Yeah, they may be sitting on a church pew, but their heart is far away from the Lord. Well, verse 6, we see their intimidation. David said, "You have shamed the counsel of the poor because the Lord is his refuge." David witnessed many social injustices committed against believers, often for nothing more than being considered financially inferior. And the wicked sought to intimidate and marginalize those whom they viewed different or opposed their ways. And the same tactics are being used right here, right now, 2024 in America. Tell me this Bible's old. Tell me this Bible's not up to date. You tell me this Bible is just a book of fairy tales, and I'll sit down and I'll quit preaching. But friend of mine, look up here. This Bible is just as accurate as today's newspaper is. Yeah. The same thing that happened in David's day is happening right now. Happening right now. Those who choose to stand for the Lord, we are viewed as ignorant, intolerant, bigots, if you want to call us that. And oftentimes, they try to use intimidation and the effort to silence our voice and prevent all opposition. But thank God, let me say it, as I said before, I'm going to tell you again, they may go ahead and try to silence us. They may go ahead and try to shut us down. I know COVID. Oh, yeah, they tried to use COVID to shut us down. But thank God for those who stand and haven't done all to stand. You know why? Because hallelujah to the Lamb. It's always darkest just before the dawn. Last of all, we have seen a day of corruption. We have seen a day of confusion. But lastly tonight, we see a day in verse number 7, a day of coronation. A day of coronation. While considering the depravity of mankind, thank God David was not left without hope. While sin had ravaged the lives of many, the Lord continued to remain sovereign. Yeah. Look up here tonight. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. The same thing that he helped Brother David with is the same thing, thank God, he'll help you and I with. Amen. Yeah. Because David knew in God there is hope. Look at this in verse number 7. The anticipation. David said, "Oh, that the salvation of Israel would come out of Zion." Regardless of the time period David was contemplating, we do know he lived prior to the coming of Jesus Christ. Although that event had yet to happen, David was looking forward to the day of the coming Messiah with great anticipation. He knew his sovereign. He knew the sovereign plan of God would never be derailed, in the words of Hunter Terrell. Because he's a train man, amen. He works for the railroad. David knew that the plan of God would never be derailed by the dictates of men. And I say that to say this. You and I tonight who are saved by the grace of Almighty God, we can rest with great anticipation. We live on the other side of the first event. But prior to our Lord's ascension, he promised, thank God, at one of these days, he's coming again. And hallelujah, friend, he could come within the next 5 minutes of time. He could come at any moment. We live in a world consumed with darkness, but thank God, there remains hope. There remains hope because the light always cuts through the darkness, and Jesus is coming again. It's always darkness before there's a dawn. Always darkest before the dawn. I believe dawn is about to break. Amen. Yeah. I believe, thank God, Miss Carolyn, Miss Mother-in-law back there, I believe that the sun is about to rise. Amen. I believe that he's going to come with healing. I believe, my friend, this. I believe that we're going to hear that trumpet sound before long.
Amen.
You said, yeah, I've heard preachers say that time and time again. We're closer now than we was years ago. It's always darkest before the dawn. We see the anticipation. We see the restoration. I'm about done, I promise. Oh, that the salvation of Israel will come out of Zion. Then David said, when the Lord bringeth back the captivity of his people. David knew God had been faithful to his people throughout their history. If he spoke of the Exodus, he knew God had delivered them from the bondage of Egypt. If through inspiration he spoke of the coming bondage in Babylon, he knew God would be faithful in restoring his people. David knew God would not ultimately forsake those who were his. God will restore Israel when he comes to establish his kingdom. We can rejoice tonight in the sovereign power of God in relation to that event, but it has no personal implication for us. However, tonight, my friend, we can rejoice knowing that the Lord will preserve those who are saved by the grace of Almighty God. I'm pickled for Jesus. Huh? Is that not an old term that we used to use when you can something? You would pickle it, or am I getting that messed up? Am I right? Okay, thank you. I had to think there for a minute, amen, because it just came out. I'm pickled for Jesus. Sounds like I'm tickled for Jesus too, amen. I am canned for Jesus. Can I put it like that? I said tonight, I'm canned for Jesus. I'm like when grandma, we used to have hog killing season. I'm like when grandma used to store that fat back. When grandma used to store that crackling, we call it. Hallelujah. Let's go eat. Amen. Y'all serve that at Derby, don't you? The fat back, the crackling. I remember I'd get them big old cans out and there'd be lard all in it, and you have to swim through the lard to get to that crackling. Amen. Hallelujah, friend. Let me tell you tonight, I'm canned for Jesus. And if you gotta get to me, you gotta go through Jesus. Amen. Well, that was good even if I did say it. The restoration. You know, we may be forced to endure some difficult trials, but church, we will prevail. Yep. We will prevail. You know why? We are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Yep. Victory is ours, and victory is sweet. All the saved will be gathered into his presence as he returns for the church. And I pray this every day, preacher. Even so come, Lord Jesus.
Yep.
Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. Last thing we see, latter part of verse number 7. I told you there was some hope. We see the jubilation. Yeah, we saw the anticipation of restoration, and now we see the jubilation in the latter part of verse 7. Bible says, Jacob rejoice. Jacob shall rejoice, and Israel shall be glad. Those who serve the Lord may have groaned under the adversity they face at the hands of wicked men, but you know what? Their adversity would not last forever. Their trials would not last forever. The heartache and the heartbreak will not last forever. When God brought restoration, joy returned.
Amen.
They may endure a season of suffering, but God would carry them through and provide joy again. Hey, look up here. I don't know how dark this world is going to get. We have no way of knowing what we might face in the future. I believe we will face some difficult days ahead, but friend of mine, we must keep our focus on the main thing, on the main person, and that is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know why? Simply because it's always darkest before the dawn. The difficulties and trials we may endure will never, ever, never compare to the joy we will share in the presence of the Lord. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Amen?
Amen.
Well, tonight, as I close, let me say this. I think we can all relate to these words of David. It's abundantly clear that our world is changing at a rapid pace.
Yeah.
It is easy to focus on the adversity and become consumed with worry and fear about our future. But friend of mine, that is exactly what the enemy wants you to do. That's exactly what the dirty, rotten, cross-sided devil wants every one of us to do. To worry about what's going to happen tomorrow, when tomorrow may never come. We could be in the presence of the Lord before the night ends. Amen?
Amen.
He wants us to become so filled with fear that we are ineffective for the Lord. I will not stand and tell you that we will enjoy everything that comes our way. But like I said before, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. It is dark now, but dawn is a-coming. The sun is going to rise soon, and we're going to be gathered out of this life of pain and misery, and thank God we're going to be there with our Savior. We will all stand before him one day. And the question is, Which judgment are you going to be at? Judgment seat of Christ or the great white throne judgment of God? That's totally up to you. Now's the time to respond. But I will say this tonight. Child of God, lift your head up high. Things may look dark and dreary, but I can promise you this. It's always darkest just before the dawn. Preacher, I'll close by saying this tonight. You know, you mentioned me trying to find the will of God. When a young man gets called to preach, they want to do the will of God. And it ought to be the heartbeat of all the children of God, is to do His will. Put His will above everything that we desire. His will before our will. I remember I wrestled. You know what, brother? I got to the point where I was getting miserable because deep down I knew what the will of God was. I was just scared to do it. And during those times that I was wrestling with the Lord, things were starting to get dark in my life. But hallelujah, when I finally gave in and I finally surrendered to the will of God, I put His will above my will. At dawn it came on my life again. It got dark, but thank God the dawn came back in my life. And I'm happy in the Lord. Amen. Yep. I'm happy in doing the will of God for my life. I'm happy with Jesus. And you may be here tonight trying to find the will of God. You may be here tonight trying to figure out what the will of God is for your life. Let me tell you, it's always darkest. A lot of times when you're trying to find the will of God, but when you finally find it, and you decide to do it, that's when that dawn is going to arise. Man. You may be here tonight and you may be saved, but you're backslidden heart. You're miserable. You're living in a dark time. But can I tell you, God wants you to come back to Him. God says, come back. Just like the prodigal son came back to the father. He came back, and what did the prodigal son's father do? Throw bricks at him? No, he welcomed back with open arms. That's exactly what God will do for you who are backslidden in heart. Amen. You're going through some dark times right now, but can I tell you, when you come back to God, it's going to be dawn again. Amen? The sun's going to shine, and you'll have joy, joy, joy down in your heart. Amen? Down in your heart. Hallelujah. Down in your heart. You got the joy of Jesus down in your heart. Thank you so much. God bless you, preacher. I'm done. Thank you.